Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome aboard the great James Herbert, NBA writer, CBSSports.com. Hey, James, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, James?
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, James. Let's start here. The Cousins injury, the Durant injury, number one, how big of a factor do you think either player will play making the NBA Finals ahead? And how much does it bother, do you think, Durant that he's not on the court?
Yeah, I think it must be driving Kevin Durant crazy. I mean, to go through this long regular season where the Warriors oftentimes look complacent, it looked like they just wanted to get to the playoffs, and then for him to miss a large chunk of these playoffs and not even be ready to come back in the finals, yeah, of course. Like, this is why he's in Golden State in the first place. We don't know how much longer he'll be there, but if there are any games that he cares about, it's clearly the finals games. And to miss game one, I'm sure that's driving him nuts, and I think the narrative right now is probably bothering him too. I mean, we've seen him kind of get a little annoyed on Twitter because people are talking about whether or not the Warriors actually need him and whether they might be better without him and blah, blah, blah. So I think he'd like to just answer all those questions on the court. And I think if there is a series in which they do need him, it's the finals, right? Like, this Raptors team has been incredible defensively. If you look at some of the possessions late in that game six against Milwaukee, if you look at those at the end of the Philadelphia series in that game seven, they almost caused three straight shot clock violations. They essentially did against Philadelphia. Now, the Warriors are a better offensive team than those teams, but I mean, the Raptors' half-court defense has been extremely formidable, so I think if there was any time the Warriors do need KD, like, it would be now. As for Cousins, like, I'm sort of less inclined to say that he'll make a huge difference. I mean, if the Raptors are switching a lot on defense, then there's, like, an obvious sort of use for Cousins to go and, like, post up smaller dudes. But I also think the Raptors would target him defensively a lot. And then also, like, the way Cousins was shooting the ball all year, even when he was healthy, I think Toronto would be inclined to just kind of ignore him when he's on the perimeter and help off of him.
Hey, James, just sticking on the Kevin Durant topic for a second. So let's say, you know, Durant misses the finals and the Warriors sweep or win in five games. How does it, in your opinion, affect KD's legacy?
I mean, I don't necessarily think it should affect his legacy, but I think sort of temporarily, just in the climate we're in right now and the way people have talked about him, like, in the moment, I think people would just be making jokes and people would say, all right, well, this is why he's leaving and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, look, like, the team did win 73 games the year before he came to Golden State. I know they lost in the finals, but, like, I don't think it should be, like, super shocking that when you have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson on the court together, and when they've been playing as hard as they have been. I mean, the defense has just been nuts, and I think Andre Iguodala has been fantastic, and he's obviously playing a few more minutes with KD not in the court. Like, it shouldn't be shocking that they've been playing well, right? Like, I think I didn't necessarily expect them to sweep Portland. Like, some of those comebacks, like, you think maybe the Blazers could have stolen a game or two in that series, but, like, I don't think this should make us think that Kevin Durant is suddenly not a historically great player just because the Warriors have played well without him. And I think the same would be true if they were able to win the finals without him. But, I mean, in the moment, that's what the conversation will be. His legacy down the line, when we look back, I mean, I think people are going to look at KD as one of the greatest basketball players of all time, certainly one of the top handful of scorers of all time. I think we can say that right now.
When you look at this Toronto team and Kawhi, and he is certainly, with this great run, this great postseason, added to his lore, his legacy, and taking a franchise that never tasted the NBA Finals, four victories away from the Larry O'Brien Trophy. What about what we've all witnessed here from Kawhi Leonard and kind of encapsulate just the brilliance here throughout the postseason?
Yeah, he's been the best player in the playoffs. It's been incredible. And, like, what you said, to sort of build on that, like, what he's done for this Raptors franchise, even if it's just one year, like, he has given that city something it has never seen. I live in Brooklyn now, but I grew up in Toronto, and I was there like the first game the Raptors literally ever played. I was in the building the other night for game six, and I've never heard that arena louder at any point for anything at the end of that game. And everybody stayed in the arena afterward for like an hour, watched all the post-game celebrations. The streets were going crazy. And, like, look, it took a lot of people to make that happen, but it doesn't happen without Kawhi Leonard. He has been unbelievable. I thought in the regular season it kind of amazed me how well he played and the numbers he put up when it seemed to me he was giving like maybe 60% effort throughout, and even said publicly that these games were like practices to him. And then the playoffs start, he turns it up on both ends. The minutes go up, the intensity goes up, he's playing through pain and injuries and all this stuff, and he just keeps going. He's just regardless of the situation, regardless of the pressure, he has been phenomenal all playoffs long. And some of the big shots that he's made, like, it's not just the buzzer beater in game seven against Philly. Like, there have been like crazy step back jumpers over Embiid and Brook Lopez. There have been lots of difficult pull-ups for most people, the highlight dunks over Giannis. Like, he has done everything. And the defense that he played against Giannis in that series, yes, it was a team effort. The Raptors, I think everything they've done defensively has been a huge team effort all playoffs. But the one-on-one defense by Kawhi, we haven't seen anybody make Giannis Antetokounmpo uncomfortable the way that Kawhi Leonard did in one-on-one situations. Like, Giannis didn't even want to attack the basket against him, because if he tried that sort of step through in the Euro step, like, you can't really do that against a guy that strong with hands like that, because you could just, like, slap the ball out. And Giannis really only has a couple of moves, so he just didn't look like that same dominant force in one-on-one situations in that series. So, yeah, I think Kawhi Leonard is reminding people that it was only a couple of years ago that he was a serious MVP candidate. And I think looking back on it, like, I think a lot of people kind of think that a couple of years ago it should have been either him or James Harden that maybe should have won that MVP over Westbrook, honestly.
Yeah, no doubt, James. No argument that Kawhi is a great player, great defensive player especially. Speaking of Kawhi, you know, so what do you think in your opinion, man? Do you think he stays in Toronto, or you think he's more likely to stay if they win the finals or lose? Like, what's your thoughts on Kawhi's future after the finals?
Yeah, I mean, I think, sure, any win they get at this point, you would think would increase the likelihood of him staying. I think it's more likely now than it was a couple of weeks ago. I think it'd be hard for anybody to walk away from a situation like this. But I think anybody telling you they know what Kawhi Leonard is going to do right now is lying. Like, he's the hardest man in the NBA to read. And I don't, that's not any sort of hyperbole. Like, Kawhi Leonard does not tell you how he feels. He does not want to talk about his future plans. And it's hard to say that his decision will be directly tied to what happens in the finals or not. Like, I think common sense tells you that now he's shared this special moment with the city, that now his teammates have sort of proved to him after some struggles earlier on in the playoffs that, like, he doesn't have to do absolutely everything. And I think there has been some trust built up between him and his teammates and the organization. But, like, does that mean that he's going to stay? Does that mean that he no longer wants to go to Los Angeles? Like, I don't know that. And I don't know anybody who would handicap this and say, oh, I think it's like 80-90% he's staying in Toronto. Like, I don't know anybody around the league who would say that. But I do think that they have made a compelling case to keep him, and why it would be a place where he can win in this league over the next few years if he does want to give them an actual chance, and if he does want to take this thing seriously and actually does want to consider staying for beyond a year. I think a lot of people, when he went there, just assumed this would this would sort of be a mercenary situation. He would come in there and make them better for a year and then get out of there. I think just on a human level, that has to be harder now. If that is what he's going to do, I don't think it would be an easy decision. But I can't sit here and say, like, yeah, this guy's absolutely staying, because, like, first of all, I don't think anybody knows, and I think the people who are guessing, I think a lot of people still lean toward him going to LA.
James, how big of a chance do you give the Raptors in these finals?
I think they have a chance. I think, honestly, if I knew Durant wasn't playing, I'd probably pick them.
You would.
But if Durant was not playing, yeah.
No, I got it. I got it.
Yeah. But I'm sort of assuming Durant will be back game two, game three, somewhere around there. And what we'll get is a close series, a long series, an exciting series, hopefully one that is significantly more sort of in doubt than the last couple of finals appearances. I mean, they've lost one game in the finals the last 2 years. The Warriors have, that is. But I do think this this Raptors team is formidable. I think what they did to Milwaukee, the team that was the best team in the league throughout the regular season and even throughout the playoffs, if you looked at their advanced numbers, like they were the most dominant team in the playoffs too. And the Raptors, after a couple of losses, just kind of figured that team out. And I think the Warriors are a much harder team to figure out just based on the way that they play offensively and just based on the basketball IQ they have and the experience they have. But it's not a particularly deep team. And once you get beyond the stars, they play a bunch of guys that are non-shooters. And I think the Raptors can make things interesting against this particular roster. This isn't exactly the same Warriors team from a couple of years ago. The whole regular season, it seemed like they were trying to tell us, hey, look, we're more vulnerable than in years past. I can't personally pick against them because I think until I see a team beat this death lineup that they have, like, I just sort of assume that when it comes down to it, that's the lineup that's going to be out on the floor, and that's going to create significant problems for the Raptors, who are going to have trouble going small without OG Anunoby, and if they're trying to put Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka out there against that particular group, I think it's just going to be challenging from a matchup perspective. But I think the way the Raptors bench has come through lately and the way that Kawhi Leonard has played and the fact that they can stick him on Durant, I think it should be really competitive. Like, I'm excited to see this series.
So you think, James, you think that the Raptors have an advantage because they got the head cheerleader in Drake in their corner? Which are you a Drake fan? What do you think of the whole Drake stuff?
I know he's friendly with a lot of the Warriors star players, and I know
he's got tattoos. He's got tattoos, yeah. Right? Of Curry and Durant, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. He's got their jerseys literally like on his body, and I think it'll be a lot different than sort of the Bucks series. Like, I think there was like sort of a fake controversy about Mike Budenholzer criticizing Drake because a reporter asked him like four questions in a row about Drake on a conference call until he said something that was like somewhat headline worthy, but like not really. And then I think the Warriors, on the other hand, like they're not afraid to get into sort of these like public wars of words. And I think specifically with Drake over the years, guys like Draymond and Kevin Durant have had fun with it. And I've been at games in Toronto where Stephen Curry and Drake have been talking trash during the game, and KD too. So I think this is all a bit of fun. I think we shouldn't take this stuff too seriously. Like, I don't personally get offended when Drake is like,
that doesn't bother you when he's going crazy? I swear, it drives me nuts. He's annoying. I got to be honest with you. He's abusing his star power.
He doesn't. He did tone it down a little bit on Saturday night, which he was basically told to, thank God, because it was. I thought at one point in time he was going to start to grab the Gatorade bottles on the bench and sit with the players during timeouts.
Unbelievable.
I think, look, he acts like a super fan would act if he knew that nobody was going to punish him for his behavior and he can get away with anything. Like, I think he is truly into it, and he is really having a good time. You don't have to like it. Absolutely not. Like, he's definitely sort of abusing his star power, as
yes,
you put it.
Yes.
But I think also, like, this isn't really that big a deal. And if people don't like it, and if people want to sort of talk trash about him and whatever, like, that just adds a little bit of fun, a little bit of sort of weirdness to a series that, like, yes, we can talk X's and O's all day. But then I think when you have Draymond Green picking up a technical foul and then Drake like screaming and clapping and the camera zooming in on his face, and he's talking to a guy who he's actually friendly with and will probably party with in the summer, like, I'm not going to get worked up about that personally, if you know what I'm saying.
No, leave that up to me. No problem.
You know what? One more before we let you go, James, and we're talking to James Herbert, NBA writer for CBSSports.com. So your pick of Golden State, but you think Toronto's got a chance to win the series, right? But you think it's going to be a good long series. All right. Out to Los Angeles with the Lakers. And that mess out there in L.A., as people continue to write columns and stuff and get in the weeds in terms of all the discord and what's going on behind the scenes. Are the Lakers going to be able to clean this entire mess up in one offseason?
I don't know. I can't be too confident in it, right? Like, the day that Magic stepped down, I thought, this is an opportunity. But they haven't gone and cleaned house when it comes to the front office. The ownership is still the same. Everybody's confused about what's happening with all the different voices and Kurt Rambis being suddenly this like major influence on all their decision-making. Like, I don't know that anybody out there in the NBA is thinking, oh, wow, they've totally turned the page. That was an embarrassing year, but now they fixed it all. Like, what have they done to fix it? Like, seriously, like, I think Frank Vogel is a fine coach, but I don't think he's going to come in there and make this team a ton better without them completely reshaping this roster and making it make a lot more sense than it did last year, when just from a chemistry perspective and just from a basketball perspective, like, yeah, you added LeBron, but then you added a whole bunch of guys that were, like, not complimentary to him. And then that's before you even get into this Baxter Holmes article on ESPN and everything else that went wrong during the season and the Anthony Davis negotiations, all that stuff. Like, I just think from a pure basketball perspective, I want to see them assemble a team that makes sense, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. And I surely, like, don't know whether or not they're going to get another star player, which appears to be what LeBron has wanted from the start.
James Herbert, NBA writer, CBSSports.com. Hey, James, we certainly appreciate the time this morning. Have a good rest of your Tuesday. Enjoy game one Thursday night. All right, bud?
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.